I want to speak this morning about worship and just our need to worship God. I want to encourage us this morning how important worship is, and it's too big of a one to cover in 30 minutes or whatever it is this morning. It's probably something that we'll spend time on over and over again over the weeks and months ahead. But I really felt this week God stirring my heart and moving my heart to talk about our need for worship and just what does that mean, and maybe get into it a tiny bit and let it expose in our hearts, let it touch our hearts, let it affect our lives, and let's see what comes from it, because we were designed to worship. And I want to encourage you that this morning. Whenever God built us, whenever God made us, we were designed to worship. When you look around, we see that we worship many things. Maybe we worship another person. Well, that's fine, but we weren't really designed to worship another person. We were meant to worship God. We were meant to worship God himself. In fact, we were made in his image, so I can see how you can get distracted by that, or you can say, oh, maybe I should worship this person, or maybe we start to worship ourselves because we're like, well, I got to look better. January comes, we always say we're going to join the gym, we're going to get fit, we're going to have all these New Year's resolutions, we're going to not eat chocolate because we just want to get better, we just get fitter, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But it's amazing how sometimes we can start to maybe worship how we look or worship what we do, and we start to worship objects and we worship all of these things. And we fall into it quite easily because we were designed to worship. But the person that we were designed to worship is God, because he's the only one who's able to take our worship. He's the only one who's able to receive it. He's the only one who's able to take it and do what he needs to do with it, because we were designed to worship him only. This is what it says in Psalm 57:7. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. I mean, the psalmist wants to write that a couple of times so we can get it. My heart is confident in you. My heart is confident. Because if my heart is confident in God, then my heart will be confident. And out of that alone is enough to praise him. You see, over and over and over again, God's not trying to brainwash us with the things that he's telling us happens. He's reminding us, this is what happens when you're in me, because I'm so good. I mean, I was reading some things and doing some research this week and thinking about worship and thinking, what does that mean? And maybe from the outside, it can feel like, well, has God not got enough things without wanting our worship as well? Is he a bit of like an egomaniac or whatever? We could even start to venture those thoughts. But have a think this morning why God is the only one who's worthy of our worship. Because you can't corrupt him. He's absolutely perfect in all his ways. All that he thinks about is us. In fact, he demonstrated that by, while we were yet sinners, he sent his very own son to die for us, knowing that he would still give us a choice. And at the end of that, he says, you choose to worship me or not. You choose to worship. I've designed you to worship. I've built you to worship. But it's over to you. What do you want to do? And this morning is exactly the same for us. It's over to you. What do you want to do? You were designed to worship him. You were made to worship him. In fact, it's really good for you, because worship never changes him. Watch how when you start to worship other things or worship yourself, how it just starts to change you in negative ways. When we start to worship God, it never changes him, because he cannot be corrupted. He never changes. But guess what happens? We start to change. And so if we remember nothing else this morning, remember this. I worship, you worship God, so it can change you. So it can change you. I remember for so many times whenever not feeling good, or maybe going through difficult seasons, or maybe just not in a good mood, I put the worship on, because I have to worship him. Because in that atmosphere, things start to change. Let you into a tiny secret. Even this morning coming down in the car, I was a bit of a grump. But I put the worship on, and suddenly the Lord started to reveal things to me, and I started to realize, I'm grumpy. He's good. I've got too much to praise about. I cannot be grumpy. I cannot stay. So it's not like when we step into praise or we step into worship that we have this ulterior motive. No, we step into praise, we step into worship, because we know there's no better place for me. And when I step in there, things change in my heart, things change in my life. It's amazing. I have found it when I step into worship, he starts to red flag my heart and go, that bit's no good. That thinking's, that's bad thinking. And I got to change. And he starts to change me in his worship. But in his presence, when I worship him, when I praise him, he does it in such an incredible way. Sometimes he just grabs me. Other times he soothes me. Other times he just brings me on gently. And he starts to remind me of things. He says, you need to do this. You need to go here. You need to do that. Because he changes us in his presence. And maybe if you're anything like me, you need a few changes. I need to get into his presence. I need to worship him. I love to worship the Lord. I feel it's one of the most important things for us. If we can grasp it, if we can get it, it's one of the most important things. I think in worship, God will heal us. In worship, God will change us. In worship, God will shape us. He will mold us. I tell you what he'll do. In worship, he will take a hard heart and he'll make it soft. In worship, he'll take a broken heart and he'll heal it. Oh, it's incredible what the Lord will do as we step in to worship him in spite of what we face. Because guess what? We're not worshiping because of us. We're worshiping because of him. We're saying, Lord, you are so worthy. Lord, you are so magnificent. You are so incredible. Whoa, spotlight is on. The Lord is, he's shining brighter than ever. Whoa. He is here to change us. He is here to shape us. He needs to get our attention. And sometimes it's when we get into worship, when we get into his heart, when we press. Here's the other thing I've learned. Maybe it's just me. When I get into worship, he loves to go after my pride and he loves to make me humble. Unbelievable. I need that. Maybe you need that. Hopefully you don't need it as much as me, but I need that because the Lord has to humble me. The Lord has to humble me, but I would rather him change me than somebody else because he can do it in a way that nobody else can do it. Here's what Psalm 34:1 says. I think David said it so well. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, the psalmist knew it. David knew it. He said, here's the best way to live. Live with praise. Live with worship everywhere you go. I worship you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. We're talking to the tribe guys on Thursday night, and I said to them, hey, what about just going through every day just saying, love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think they looked at me a bit weird, but I was like, no, I think it's good. It's done me good. I encourage you to develop that into your life. Just everywhere you go, just under your breath, or if you're by yourself, sometimes you're with other people and you start saying, I worship you, love you, Lord. You can look weirder than weird. So maybe in those moments, we just keep it in our hearts. But there has to be those moments in our day, and the psalmist is saying, David is encouraging us, let it be continuously on our lips. Lord, I love you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. No matter what I face, I love you, Jesus. Because it's just doing something inside of me. It's just doing something in our hearts. We were chatting on Thursday night with the tribe guys, with the teens, and they were saying, hey, we just love to listen to worship. I always said, hey, that's such a good thing because just continuously, God is just ministering to you. The Lord is just speaking to you, and you're putting all these different words of love and affirmation and just incredible stuff into your heart, and it is shaping your soul. Lord says this morning, you were made to worship me. You're alive to worship me. I've designed you to worship me. Start worshiping me. But he is incredible. He gives us this amazing choice. Here's, I want to read John 4:23-24. And it's this amazing portion of scripture. Now, what's just happened before this, just to remind you of the story, is the woman at the well. Do you remember the woman at the well? She has went to the well. She's trying to go at a quiet time of the day because in that society, she was of not the right sort. She was not of the right kind. And the way that she was living her life, she had been with five other men, and the man that she's with now, she's not been faithful. And just her whole life has been a mess. Her whole life has been a mess. But suddenly this one day, she meets a different man at the well, and his name is Jesus. And she comes to Jesus, and he said, hey, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink, and you would have living water forever. And then they go into this kind of strange conversation, and we're going to try to understand it this morning to bring out the truth of it. But it says, but the time is coming. And this is Jesus saying, indeed, here it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so Jesus meets this woman. She says, I've never met anyone like you. I heard this week, so I'm going to share it with you. It's not mine, but it was somebody else's, but I'm going to give it to you because it was such a good one. He said this. He said, six men came, and they had no effect in their life. In fact, a really negative way. But when the seventh man came, the number of completion came. He completed her, and he transformed her. And she went from a mess that nobody wanted to hear and that nobody wanted to be around to an evangelist that was saving the whole community. Because as soon as she left the presence of Jesus, she just couldn't stop talking about, I met a man who told me everything I ever did. I met a man who didn't judge me. I met a man who changed my life. And the Lord says this morning, and he brings it into this. He says, look, whenever you realize that you were made to worship, and whenever you realize who I am, it's going to touch your heart. It's going to affect your heart. And everywhere you go, you're just going to bring good news, and you're going to bring good cheer, and you're going to celebrate, and you're going to bring joy to the people around you. But it begins by a lifestyle of worship, and it begins by recognizing who Jesus is. There is nobody like Jesus. Is he not worthy of our praise this morning? Is he not worthy of our worship? There is no one else worthy. There is no one else perfect, but he is the one who is worthy. And the Lord says this morning, look at this. The Father is looking in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship. He is so good that he doesn't even make us do it. He says, I invite you to worship me. Worship other things, but they are not like me. Those other things will take from you. Those other things will not give to you. There will be a wrestle. It will be a defeat. It will ultimately try to bring you down. But if you worship me, I will always elevate you because I'm able to carry your worship. I'm able to carry your worship. And you were designed and made to worship him and nobody else. He says this morning, for God is spirit, and so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We worship through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Every time we come, we worship in faith. So there are times where you're going through difficult seasons and you don't want to worship, but you worship him anyway because you know he's worthy of your praise. You've just went through the most difficult week. It's been the worst week of your whole life. Everything's went wrong. But you know what? You say to yourself, I've got to worship the Lord because there's no one else worthy. And maybe I come in with a sacrifice of praise. And maybe I come in with brokenness and I say, Lord, I don't want to worship you, but I know there's nothing else I can do and nothing else that I want to do. I have to worship you, Lord. And he receives us in tears. He receives us in joy. He receives us in apathy. He receives us any which way we come. But we've got to recognize this morning that he is worthy of our worship. And it's that which will change our hearts. And the more that we worship him, the more that he changes us, the more that he shapes us. That woman met Jesus and she recognized the man that forever changed her life. We have met a man. And maybe all of us, or at least the majority of us, have met a man that has transformed our lives. Is he not worthy of our worship? Is he not worthy? This morning is not to try and force you into do this thing. This morning is just to remind you, he is so worthy of all the things that he has done. He is so incredible what he has done. I want to remind you of the enemy, because there is an alternative to all of this when we start to take worship for ourselves. Three angels, three archangels in heaven. One of them was Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. Just three amazing creations that God had created. These super angels, these amazing guys in heaven, just designed to worship the Lord. And the worship leader of heaven was Lucifer. And he was beautiful. The Bible describes him as beautiful. He was just incredible. And the way that he sung was just incredible. He could sing and he could reach notes and he could do things that no other being, no other creation could do. The Bible tells us there was even instruments built inside of him. They were built inside of him. I mean, he was just designed to worship. And then the Bible tells us that after a while, instead of leading the worship to the Lamb, leading the worship to Jesus, leading the worship to the throne, he decided to take some of the worship for himself. He said, I would like that worship. But remember, there's nobody worthy to carry worship, only the Lord, because he cannot be corrupted. He is perfect in all of his ways. The angels were not. And Lucifer got corrupted, he got conceited, and he was in so much influence, he was in so much control that a third of the angels fell with him. Incredible. And it started off with a good heart, bringing worship to the Lord, just leading the worship, made perfect in that way, made perfectly designed to worship just like us. And yet it's incredible today how the Lord wants us to worship, and yet sometimes we get so far away from worship, we get worship in other things and worship in ourselves and worship whatever we can. And we've got to realize this morning there are dark forces at play because the enemy hates what we do because we took his place. We were made to worship. We were made to worship. And every time we worship, guess what happens? It reminds the enemy of his fate. It reminds him of what he lost. It reminds him of who he was. It reminds him of the place that he had. And it reminds him of the place that he lost. And he hates us, hates us, hates us. It's the reason why he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, because we took his place. And the Lord is so gracious this morning, because think about this. The enemy took his eyes, Lucifer took his eyes off the Lord for a moment, and it said he fell like heaven, like lightning. And we take our eyes off the Lord all of the time, but because of grace, and because of the goodness of God, he keeps restoring us. He keeps bringing us back. Is he not worthy of our worship this morning? He is so incredible. It will change our lives. He is worthy of it. Our worship is vital. Psalm 22:3 tells us this, that when we sing praises, then he inhabits the praises of his people. I just think it's incredible. It says that the Lord fills the whole universe, but when we begin to praise him, that God who fills the whole universe starts to dwell actively inside of our lives. The God of the universe. We come to worship him, and as we do, that God who fills the universe, he inhabits us, and his praises overflow us, and he changes us. In other words, he dwells in all his fullness inside of us. Is that not incredible this morning as we worship? As we worship, that is what he does. Jars of clay, but he fills us full of his abundant grace, of his incredible mercies, of his unending love. And suddenly we become lights for the kingdom of God as we worship. And he changes us and he corrects us and he molds us and he sustains us. See, maybe we have made the same mistake that the enemy has made, that we've made worship all about ourselves. Don't feel like it, don't want to, just not in the mood for it. You know what the Lord says? Yeah, he doesn't say you have to, but he pretty much does in a roundabout way. He demands our worship because there's nobody else worthy of our worship. And I want to correct our hearts this morning and say, hey, maybe we've come with an attitude that says, well, it doesn't really matter if we worship the Lord or not. No. He deserves all of our worship because of all that he has done. And we come with an attitude that says, I am not worthy, I am undone, Lord, but I give you all that I have because all that I have is yours. Because you've given me all that you have, and I didn't deserve a thing. And out of that, it touches our hearts. And more, we move away from the me, and we move more to the him. And I'm worshiping him because he's worthy. I'm not worshiping because I feel like it or I want to or because of me in any form. I'm worshiping him because he is worthy of all my worship. Worship changes us. Luke 10:38-42, we're going to read this one together. Mary and Martha. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who was sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and saying, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Just an amazing portion of scripture. Two sisters, just out to help the Lord, out to bless the Lord, out to make a difference. Now, what I'm not saying is that we don't go and be servants, that we don't serve the Lord and we don't bless the Lord with our service and we don't do all that we can, but we've got to recognize that worship is central to our service. Worship is central. Look at this. Jesus in the house. Jesus is right there with them, but only Mary gets to hear his word because Martha's so busy trying to serve him. And I think sometimes we're getting too busy serving because we're running away from what we really need to do, which is to get into the throne room and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and not always be distracted with the things that we must do and have to do and the busyness even of Christian service and say, Lord, I just need to sit at your feet because what? I need to hear a word. I need to hear your word this morning. I need to know your word because you could be busy over here doing a whole lot of things that you thought were a good idea, but they were never what he asked you to do. It says that Jesus comes into the house and all he wants is for them to sit at his feet because when Jesus comes, he doesn't want you to do stuff. He wants you to sit with him. And church, this morning, the Lord wants to remind us that there must be times in our days. We talked about it last week about the secret place, but there has to be moments in our lives. There has to be regular spaces in our lives when we sit at his feet and we hear his word because we're more interested in him than doing for him. And that's incredible. That's one that I always have to do. I have to remind myself because I get a satisfaction of doing things for God. I guess a puffed up pride because I'm like, oh, look all I've done. Look at all the good things that the Lord has done through me. And I'm following after him and I'm serving well for the Lord. And then I get into his presence and I start to worship and I start to praise him. And I get into that secret place. Then he reminds me. He starts to knock that pride off. And he says, it's not about what you do. It's about who you are. It's about who you worship. It's about where you live from. And the Lord this morning wants to remind us that Mary and Martha, Mary sat at his feet and she got a word. When are the times when we're sitting at his feet and we're simply worshiping him because he's worthy of our worship? And the Lord is here this morning, wants to remind us, I need your attention, I need your time because I need to put fresh things into your heart. I need to transform you. I need to get inside of you. I need to transform you and take you away from the distractions and everything else. And so as we get into his presence, here's what our hearts say. My heart says this, I want more of you, Jesus. I've got nothing to offer, but all that I have, I give you. This is what my heart says. Maybe that's what your heart says when you get into those times of worship, when you get into those moments, or maybe just as you're going through your day and you say, Lord, I worship you, I praise you. I live because of you. I'm thankful because of what you've done. I'm reminded of what you poured out for me. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is incredible. He just keeps going above and beyond. He keeps just doing more than enough. All of which are worthy of our worship. All of which, if we know it's good for us, we worship him because it changes us. We mentioned already, maybe I'm too tired. Maybe I'm not in the mood. Maybe I don't like that song. Maybe it's just not my right key. I mean, part of worship is singing. Of course it is. But the Lord says, just make a joyful noise. I mean, if you sing off key, go for it. Make a joyful noise. Does not matter. Just go with the right heart and sing praises. Just sing praises. We are far too reserved in everything that we do because of our culture in Northern Ireland. When we get to heaven, we will have no inhibitions. We will be held back by nothing. We will just dance and praise before the Lord, and it will be glorious. And the Lord says, you can wait till then, but if you want to, I can enable you and I can help you to praise like that here. I don't have as much talking to do to myself, so I'm not talking to you. But I'm just saying, Lord, continuously change me. Lord, keep moving me. Keep stripping me back because, Lord, there is more, there is more, there is more. You know, it's amazing how sometimes we come to his presence. And if there's jealousy in our hearts, if we're just being consumed with other things, if there's bitterness, if we're just having an issue with this or an issue with that, it's amazing how when we come into his presence, it's just like a steel ceiling. We just can't get through. We just cannot get through. The Lord says, when we come into his presence, we've got to come with that thankfulness. We've got to come with that praise. When we come to worship him, we've got to recognize who we are and who he is. And this is not about me. This is all about him. This is all about him this morning. And that's why maybe on your heart today, it's like, well, what about me? But the Lord says, no, this message is all about me this morning. But don't worry. As you press into me, I will take care of you. Don't worry about it this morning. As you press in and worship, as you just get alone with him, maybe as you get on the ground with him and you just press in and you just put your face in the ground, whatever you want to do, whatever you need to do, but as you just press into his presence, watch how, as you seek him, he starts to bless you in ways that you never knew before and never understood before. Because today I want to make worship all about him, because it's for who he is and what he's done. Maybe it's even this. Maybe you go to worship because you want to bring breakthrough to your family. Maybe you go to worship because you're like, Lord, I need to worship you because I've got to get there. I've got to worship for my family. I've got to worship for breakthrough in a situation. I've got to worship for what the Lord needs to do in a certain situation. I need a breakthrough in this thing. I need you to come through. Worship brings breakthrough like nothing else. As we begin to lift him up, as we begin to worship him, as we begin to adore him, it brings breakthrough like nothing else. Because again, we were made to worship him. I want to read a few things of just how good the Lord is, just to remind our hearts. God is perfect and therefore lacks no deficiency. Matthew 5:48, for the sake of time, I'm just going to quote these. Matthew 5:48 says this, God is perfect and lacks no deficiency. He's able to take our worship. It will not puff him up. It will not take away from him. He doesn't need it, but he's the only one worthy of it. He's perfect. His works are perfect. Deuteronomy 32:4 tells us this, another reason why he's worthy to be worshipped. 2 Samuel 22:31 tells us that his works are perfect. Everything he does is perfect. Job 36:4 and 37:16 says this, that his knowledge is perfect. Everything the Lord knows, everything that's in his mind is absolutely perfect. Psalm 18 tells us that his words are perfect. Everything he speaks is perfect. He's just perfect in every single way. This is why he's worthy of our worship. His laws are perfect. Even the things that we don't understand, his justice is perfect. He has no shortcomings in his justice. Sometimes we complain about our justice systems. Why do this? Why do that? His justice is perfection. There is nothing in him that is not perfection. He is perfect in every single way. His beauty is perfect. His faithfulness is perfect. His will is perfect. And his love is perfect. And right from beginning to the end, the Lord is telling us, I am perfect, I am perfect, I am perfect. But what does he do? He demonstrates it through love. He doesn't sit up on a lofty place and tell us, hey, you must worship me because I'm perfect. No, he says, hey, let me demonstrate my love. And he encourages us and he blesses us and he pours out for us and he lays down his son for us. And out of those things, a heart starts to rise in us and we say, Lord, I've got to worship you. I've got to worship you. Out of our hearts, worship begins to rise because of what he has done. Worship will never corrupt him because he is worthy of it. And here's what I love about worship as we're getting ready to finish this morning. is that right? We said right at the beginning, what we said was this, is that worship changes us. This is what worship does for me and why I need it and why I want to encourage you for it as well, is that it exposes us. It helps us to realize our need of God over and over and over and over again. Every time I come to worship the Lord, it reminds me, this life is not about me. It's not about all the things I go through. And then in that, the Lord just reminds me that He's for me, and He's taking care of me, and He's encouraging me, and He's lifting me up. Every time as I worship. Every time as I go to worship, look what He does. He realigns our hearts. Every time I go to worship, He realigns my heart. He brings my heart back into focus. He reminds me of what I'm made for. He reminds me of what I'm called to do. And out of that heart of worship, I'm able to step into everything that He has called me to do with the right heart, with the right spirit, with the right attitude. He realigns my heart. In other words, He corrects me sometimes. Sometimes He needs to correct us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Wow. Wow. The Lord doesn't bring us into worship to put us down, but as we get into worship, He reminds us of who we are and what He has done in a glorious, incredible way, and that His grace is sustaining us, not to just save us, but to cause us to overflow, to cause us to go over the top, to cause us to achieve in ways that we've never achieved before. As we come into worship, it affects us. I need to worship Him because I need Him. I'm lost without Him. That's my heart as I come to worship. I need to worship Him. Because I need Him, because I was lost without Him, and I will continuously be lost without Him. So I need to come to worship Him. I need to be close to Him. I need to know His heart. Otherwise, I just continuously walk lost. And the Lord says this morning, we need to worship Him. We need to lift Him up. And as we lift Him up, He lifts us up. This is His heart this morning. This is what the Lord has called us to do. Guys, can we stand this morning? Years ago when we were praying, the Lord spoke two key things as we were getting ready to plant the church about 3.5 years ago. And I really felt that He impressed in my heart that there were going to be two significant things. It would be the spirit that we carried, the spirit of we can do anything, that God's not dead, that we can do impossible things for the kingdom. And that would sustain us, and that would drive us forward. And that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly what is happening. But the other thing that He said was that I'm going to develop a worship in you that's not like anyone else. It's not like anything else. Not because we're better than anybody else, but because He just has a unique calling on us in the same way as He's got a unique calling on everybody else. And He said, it's your spirit of impossible that I'm going to put on you. It's a spirit of impossible that says you can do anything, but it's also going to be the worship that you carry in your heart, the worship. And I believe that the Lord is bringing us into that, and it's so much more than singing, because we know that we can just sing and it can mean nothing. So it's so much more than singing. It's something deeper. It's something deeper that God is developing in our hearts. And I feel like He's been getting us ready, and He's been taking us somewhere, but there is so much more to go. And here's what I'd love to encourage you with. Is that we will bring better worship on Sunday to Him if there's more private worshiping happening behind the scenes at home. And I want to encourage you, get into that secret place on your day-to-day, in the open place, just wherever you are, just praise continuously on your lips. Just worship Him, because you've got to develop that lifestyle of worship. You've got to develop that heart. You've just got to continuously allow the Lord to work in you, making you that mature believer, make you that mature son, that mature daughter. So when we come to the house of the Lord, we're not having to stir something up. We're not having to wait for our favorite song. We're not having to wait to one that we know. We're already gone. We're like a rag that's been dipped in diesel, and as soon as the match hits, we're gone. That's it. That's all we need. And I believe the Lord has called us to this. He has purposed us to this. And it will be unique to the calling of this church. It will be unique to the calling of this family. And the more that we seek after that, the more that we press into the Lord for that, the more that we will reap all the rewards that He has planned. But right to the beginning, and right to like everything that we say, it's a choice, and we have to choose. We were designed to worship. I feel he's put a special mandate on our hearts to worship him in spirit and in truth because of the spirit that we carry. And because of the spirit that we carry, we can worship him in ways that are different from maybe others. But we have to realize that mandate. We have to go after that. We have to do what we said. In the private places, in your alone spaces, in your own world, wherever you find yourself, just developing that heart of worship. And then when you get here, it's just like a match. You're ready to go. One spark in flames, this thing's the furnace, more people catch on fire, and we can't fit the people in. Because the Lord is saving people, he's restoring people, he's reviving people.